Another episode of Worst Collection Ever. This is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence, and it just happens to belong to us. I'm Jen.
I'm Sean.
We've got a lot this week.
We do.
We do. We have comics to talk about. You have an interview with writer, filmmaker, comedian Chris Mancini.
Yes, good friend of the show, former guest of the show.
Definitely.
Chris Mancini. We, as you hear in the interview, we talked about him being on the podcast, and I thought he was on the podcast like more than once.
Oh,
he's on the podcast at least twice, because he was on there for an Iron Man book we did.
Okay.
And he was on there for like a Power Man and Iron Fist.
I remember the Power Man and Iron Fist.
Because we did that at the festival.
Yes, I remember that.
Like, I have the picture of him just sitting there like trying to run the festival. I'm like, Chris, read a comic.
Right.
You know, you're stressing yourself out. Read a comic. He's like, okay.
Yeah.
But Chris could be on a little bit later in the show just to talk about his current Kickstarter project, Rise of the Kung Fu Dragon Master, a comic book that he's doing with Fernando Pinto. And, you know, Chris also did a comic book, graphic novel. He's a graphic novel,
yes.
Excuse me, that he did one called Long Ago and Far Away.
Yes.
That got picked up by Starburns Studios, which, if you're familiar with Starburns, you know, they originally started like Rick and Morty, Moral Oral. They did a lot of animation, you know, like they have a podcast network, and they have, you know, they obviously have a printing network too, of sorts. So it's very cool. Chris will tell us more about it. And if you want to look it up, there'll be a link in the podcast notes, as well as just check out Kickstarter.com and look up Rise of the Kung Fu Dragon Master. You'll probably find it. So let's get into something known as Disney Plus.
Oh, yes.
And The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
So let's talk about
The Mandalorian. We've
seen it. We've watched.
I mean, as many episodes as there are at the moment.
What's kind of great is I feel like we're as into it as everybody else is, which is kind of
rare. Which is surprising, actually. And, you know, for me, who I'm not a huge Star Wars person, I mean, I like Star Wars enough, but I'm not like, you know, I can't sit there and tell you all the characters. I've never read in a novel for the now no longer canon extended universe, you know, none of that. I've seen all the movies, but I'm not like, you know, a huge dedicated Star Wars fan. But I really am enjoying The Mandalorian a lot. I love Baby Yoda.
Yeah.
I know people are like, but it's not Baby Yoda. I know it is not actual Yoda, but I don't know what species Yoda is, and I don't think anybody else does. So until I know, he is a Baby Yoda, and he is fucking adorable, and I love him.
So Baby Yoda aside, though, I am really...
Oh, but the rest of it I really like.
Yeah, because I want to say, I'm really happy how... First of all, okay, yeah, like yourself, I am not a... Star Wars guy.
Yeah.
I know the movies.
Yeah.
I'm cool with it. I think
sure.
I like how some of the stuff looks. I have one Star Wars figure.
Uh-huh.
A Lobot figure. And I think at some point we're going to have to do a Star Wars comic. I think it's surprising that in all the years we've been doing the show.
I don't even think we have one, do we?
No, because we don't really collect them. But I would love to do like one of the like Marvel comics from like... The you know that started back in like the 70s and you know
I mean
kinda...
good luck good well, no, luck finding them. I mean, no, you might be able to find them collected or something.
Yeah, I mean I'm debating because there's some stuff that I don't know I'll read it, you know. I think we could do it, and I think that would be
sure.
a lot of fun, but
yeah.
Nonetheless though, The Mandalorian is cool because, well, first of all, it's like a lot of people describe it, it's a western in space. It's a
sure.
space western,
yeah.
essentially.
Yeah.
You know, you got the Mandalorian, who is a bounty hunter dressed up in Boba Fett armor, which is Mandalorian armor.
Yeah,
you know, it's not his armor, but and he's out there
being a bounty hunter.
Being a bounty hunter, and he's got a job where he has to bring back the Baby Yoda. And there's, you know, sometimes there's some people are these bounty hunters are trying to kill it.
Yeah,
and he's like, no, I can't kill it because it's too adorable. So far, it's still alive. We have
living Yoda.
Yeah, it's a living Baby Yoda, but we don't know what the fate of this Baby Yoda is going to be.
Well, I'm assuming it's going to live.
Let's hope so. I'll tell you what. There's going to be a lot of angry people.
Oh,
if
yes.
that if that young baby,
the
Yoda,
50-year-old baby,
the 50-year-old baby.
I just really like
50-year-old baby coming to a theater near you, directed by Judd Apatow.
I really like this too. because it's not like a, oh my God, the fate of the universe, you know, we have to save this planet or that planet. It's just like, it's something that's going on within the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
And from the world that Star Wars has built, there's a billion of those stories. It's just like, and this is a bounty hunter and this is what he's doing to, you know, like do his thing. I like that. It's not, you know, it's a little bit of a smaller story and I appreciate that. I mean, at least now, right now, we've only seen two episodes. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing the rest of it. I really like the end credits. I like the drawings.
Yeah. Yeah, it's unique. And what I also like, too, is that, again, yeah, as you said, it's something that's happening in the Star Wars universe, but it's not actually, like...
It's not Luke and Leia.
It's not Luke and Leia. It's not,
it's
like...
It's not fucking Darth Vader. It's...
Yeah, it's not a bunch of Death Stars.
Obi-Wan isn't in this. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, like, some people who live in the fucking universe.
Just doing their thing.
Star Wars. Doing their thing. Living their lives.
But I like seeing these random characters hanging around. Like the first... Like, actually, I think the first scene, he goes into, like a bar.
Yeah.
You know, he goes into a Star Wars bar.
On some fucking bullshit planet.
Uh-huh.
Some ice ball planet in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Oh, yeah. He goes into an ice ball bar. And there's some fuckery going on.
Yeah.
And there's like one of the dudes there. And I can't remember if it's from the first movie or the Empire or the Jedi movie. But there's like a squid face dude that there's an action figure of. And I forgot what his name is. I know I can look it up. But I mean, who cares? Squid face. I think that's actually what the toy's name was, squid face.
Right.
But it's not that particular squid face. Or maybe it is. But there's a squid face dude hanging out in his ice bar. Just hanging out there. And some shit goes down, and he ends up getting like cut in half by
a
door.
That's fucking awesome. That was really great when he cuts that guy in half.
But it's like you got shit like that going on in the show, and it's like I wasn't really ready for that.
No, it's
like,
pretty
just
great.
Just like the action, like the actual like violence of the action. Like it's obviously there's Star Wars, and there's, you know, there's people getting shot and shit going on. Right. But like,
dude got cut in half. I mean, you don't see it.
But you don't see it.
No.
But it's there. But hey, you know what? It's there.
It and like you said, it's like a Western. It's like when the guy walks into a bar and people start fucking shooting.
Yeah.
You know, at the very beginning of a Western. Yeah, it's pretty great. I also really like a cameo appearance by Brian Posehn.
Yeah.
I actually hadn't seen it, but I did see on his Instagram. He was like, I'm so excited. Here I am. There's like a picture of like him paused on the TV and then him sitting in front of the TV.
I'm in the Power Wars.
Yeah, being like, I'm going to be in Star Wars, which is like a huge dream for him.
How is it that
he died in Star Wars?
He was basically like an ice planet Uber driver.
Yeah, he was like a cabbie and it was great. It was like a perfect fucking role for him. I'm so glad he got to do it.
How is it that you cast Brian Posehn in a Star Wars universe, and he's not just a hairless Wookiee?
He kind of is.
Because he kind of is.
He would totally been able to pull off.
Because he's gigantic.
Wookie.
Like, he's legit tall.
He could have been the Wookiee human hybrid or whatever. He'd been like, my dad was a Wookiee, my mom was a human.
Yeah, my dad was a Wookiee.
And just now kinda, here I fucking am. I'm Brian Posehn.
I'm a hairless Wookiee.
What are you going to do?
Come on. I mean, because you definitely know that there's been a human that's fucked a Wookiee.
I mean, I assume most anything has fucked anything in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, let's be honest. Yeah, we should.
All things fuck.
All things are fucked.
All things fuck other things in the Star Wars universe. It's a good assumption to make. I'm just saying it's a good assumption.
Let's put it this way. If George Lucas ain't doing it, somebody else is making that happen.
I'm certain there's plenty of fanfic that explores this very topic.
Yeah, somebody has already...
And deviant art pages dedicated to it.
Oh, yeah. Brian Posehn's already been created on those pages.
Oh, yeah.
Brian Posehn's a Wookiee man. Posehn Baca.
Pobaca?
Pobaca!
Pobaca.
Posebaca.
Aw.
No, Mandalorian's pretty dope.
Yeah, it's fun.
And if you have Disney Plus, you should check it out.
Yeah.
And I guess really not much else was going on. I mean, there's stuff going on, of course, that we're probably just ignoring and not talking about.
I'm sure. There's so much going on.
But we're not like a news show.
Well, no, not only that, but my God, how can we fucking keep up with anything?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, there's impeachment hearings. Wrestling Twitter is exploding.
Yeah, right.
Like this fandom's mad. There's Baby Yoda. I can't keep track of it all.
The only other thing I want to bring up was The Rock put out a picture of him as Black Adam, which kind of looks like an official DC artwork or something, like a presentation of sorts.
Yeah.
And the movie apparently is not coming out till like 2020 or something like that, or 2021 maybe.
Sure.
And I'm like, whatever. So.
Oh, I do want to say though, DC has unveiled a line of credit cards.
Oh, yeah, you were talking about that.
That you can get, like, Wonder Woman cards and, like, logos of DC characters. I'm assuming it's, like, in partnership with somebody. I don't know, whatever. But there is a Batman card.
Uh-huh.
And it's literally that fucking car. It's, I mean, a better Bat logo, but it's, like, remember the Bat credit card from Batman and Robin?
Oh, so it's actually that card?
It's basically that card. And I was like, oh, my God, that joke has become real. Like... like that's 2019.
That's 2019 for you.
Fucking shit we're joking about movies years ago is now real, and like people are supposed to take it seriously.
Oh, nostalgia is terrible.
It is terrible.
Let's take a quick break and we'll come back with Mr. Chris Mancini.
Monthly. It's Action Film Face-Off.
Hello, I'm Jason the Weasel Skull Albrecht, and I'd like to tell you about a podcast I do with my brother, Jared Albrecht, the yard sale artist.
Action Film Face-Off.
Yes, thank you, Jared. Action Film Face-Off is a podcast where my brother and I, who are both military combat vets.
Jason was a Navy SEAL.
Jason was not a Navy SEAL. Jason was a military intelligence wing. But anyway, in each episode of Action Film Face-Off, we select two different action films.
Some of them have Chuck Norris.
Technically speaking, none of them have had Chuck Norris yet, but it could happen because we use a randomizer set between 1970 and modern day to select our two films. So you'll always get two films, each from a different year.
Our randomizer has spikes on it.
We use a Google random number generator, so it does not have spikes on it. And we put the films into our Videodome arena.
It also has spikes.
It does not have spikes. But we discuss the films and score them through six different rounds of criteria.
I score Bond films very high.
Okay, that's true. But anyway, by the end of the episode, we crown one of the action films the champion of Action Film Face-Off.
Next episode, Jason bites a bear.
Jason is not fighting a bear, but please give our show a listen. We're part of the Longbox Crusade network of shows.
Pat Sampson killed a man with a sword once.
I can neither confirm nor deny that statement, but you can find us on iTunes, Google Play, and most podcatchers under Longbox Crusade, or you can subscribe to just our show by searching for Action Film Face-Off.
Come see the blood fly!
And that's Action Film Face-Off. We do, indeed, invite you to come and see The Blood Fly.
I just said that.
All right, my guest at this time is a former guest on this podcast, the great Chris Mancini. Chris, how are you doing this evening?
Great. Thanks for having me on, Sean. Always love talking about comics, as well as some of the worst in the collection.
You were on... What did you do with us? You did a... Power Man and Iron Fist, I believe.
There was one that it was almost like a spinoff, and I remember the first page was Explosive First Issue, and then you turned it over, and then the next page, the title of the episode was Endgame.
Actually, how many episodes? I'm trying to think. Okay, so we did that.
We did a Power Man and Iron Fist one, and then we did another one.
We did an Iron Man one.
Yeah.
That one with when he was hanging out with Kazar.
That sounds right.
You are here to talk about a new project that you're working on. It's a Kickstarter project that is featured, is looking at it right now, and it's called Rise of the Kung Fu Dragon Master, 160-page comedy action graphic novel about a small-time crook who gets thrown into a mystical battle between good and evil. That is the elevator pitch, but I want to let you talk about it more in depth.
Absolutely. As you know, we did before, Long Ago and Far Away was my first graphic novel I did with Fernando Pinto, and Starburns Press picked that up, so I've been working with them, and this next one will go on Starburns Press once we get it funded, so it's nice to actually have a publisher kind of on board earlier, so I don't have to kind of shop it around or place it anywhere. This is another one that's kind of like near and dear to my heart. I wanted to get the same team together. So Fernando Pinto is going to be doing all the art. Troy Petrie and Dave Lamphere are going to be doing the lettering. And then We have a couple of new people, like Brendan Wright is going to come on board, and he's actually going to be the editor, and he's from Dark Horse, and he works with Starburns Press right now. So, and Brandon's been great. He's been really, he actually worked on Long Gone Far Away once it went over to Starburns and tweaked some of the dialogue and really made some interesting and really good corrections. So he's a really good editor, and he's helping out with this Kickstarter too. But this is one of those projects that, like, you know, I wanted to make a big, broad comedy with, like, you know, epic fights and martial arts and dragons and monsters. But it, as I was writing again, the same thing with Long Gone Far Away, it became a more personal story. It became more about, like, what if someone was angry all the time and they were angry at the world and they just wanted to fight all the time? How would that mesh with, like, an ancient philosophy like of Kung Fu, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years ago? And I really thought about that. I'm like, because everything, the way our society is now and with technology, it's like we're all so instantly angry about everything.
Oh, yeah.
How would that reconcile with, you know, trying to find peace, especially if you're so far gone into anger? You know, you wonder, like, well, what would it take to actually have you come back? Because anger and violence destroys everything. And as things crumble around you, I'd really like to see how somebody could be redeemed from that. But also in the middle of, like, this giant fight between good and evil, and, like I said, dragons and Chinese mythology, and it's where one character just kind of finds himself in the middle of that, literally and figuratively. So I wanted to kind of put that out there, and I really wanted it to be a big, epic, fun fantasy comedy story, but also a personal one about somebody's journey, about why he's angry, how he got there, and how you can ultimately move away from anger and find peace in your life. So that was kind of the impetus. And that's when I thought, well, Kickstarter is the best way to do this again. You know, like your fans, the Comedy Film Nerds fans, all the fans, you know, they rallied together and made it happen. So I'm hoping for the same generosity again this second time.
Definitely. And I definitely urge all of our listeners with us right now to support Chris's endeavor. And we'll put a link to it on our in our show notes. But why don't you go ahead and give everybody what that address would be, or the easiest way for them to find this?
Absolutely. There's two easiest ways. It's you go to Kickstarter.com and just type in Rise of the Kung Fu Dragon Master. I'm pretty sure there's not something with the same title or something similar. So that will be the only thing that will come up. The other place you could go, if you just want to do a click, go to comedyfilmnerds.com and then click through there. It's on the homepage.
Right on. And I just want to actually, I was looking through this and I wanted to maybe ask a few questions or just make a few observations about this.
Please do. Please do. I love talking about it.
This is your second project with Mr. Pinto.
Yes.
And he's got a very distinct art style. It's not, you know, super detailed, but it's detailed enough. And I like that a lot.
What I love about it, too, is it's even if the story gets a little heavier, there's always that lighter tone in the artwork to let you know that this is always, you know, even though there's going to be heartfelt and poignant moments in it, it's going to be a comedy at its heart. You're always going to be laughing along the way.
Yeah, it is definitely, you could tell right off the bat from the panels you guys have up here already. There's, you know, just a lot of straight up jokes and the protagonist being, you could already kind of tell, like, that's who this guy is. You know, he's got a, you know, he's got an attitude, or he's got, you know, he's got that snark in him, or as you said, he's very angry. So, you know, a lot of times, you know, anger leads to sarcasm. Definitely dig that. And also something too, and I wonder if this is something that you as a writer kind of facilitate, just like on some of the pages that are shown here, like you have like these, like, it's almost like a camera effect, but it's on a page. I don't know how to describe it, but it's kind of like they're in warp speed.
Yeah, there's like a motion lines and motion blur. Yeah, Fernando's so good at those. He's really great at kinetic drawings.
Well, I'll say, I mean, there's also that right underneath that, there's that part where Rick gets kicked, and then you have the panel of him being woozy, but it's blurred.
Yeah.
So is that something that, like, as a writer, you're like, I want to see that, and you connect with Fernando to get that in motion? Or
it's a little broader, and then Fernando basically just runs with it. Like I say, well, he's everything gets blurry for him, and then Fernando takes that and kind of interprets it and makes the panel his own, which he did. I'm like, oh, I love it. Yeah, it's great.
I'm looking through here, and I'm intrigued by some of the folks that are on your team. I'm looking at your letterer group, and they worked on something called Invasion from Planet Wrestletopia.
Yes.
As well as which, as a wrestling fan, as everybody knows who listens to the show, that's the only thing I ever talk about. I never shut up about it.
Well, I will say this. That book is actually on Starburns Press. If you buy the digital tier, you get all of those issues in the tier. You get the whole Starburns Press library, so you get that book.
So how did you hook up with Starburns? I know that I'm kind of putting it together that you and Graham, you know, being comedians that have been part of the LA scene, are probably, you know, you have a connection to, you know, Dino and the people over there. Is that kind of how that facilitated, or was it something that they just happened to see and they're like, hey, you know, maybe we should get together and do this?
It was actually a mix of all of those things, which was really cool. Like, you know, we had Dino on the podcast to talk about Trent, and we had some comedy friends in common. And then Fernando actually did some artwork for Starburns. So he'd already worked for them, and he thought it would be a good fit. And then, a friend of mine, Jackie Cation, who also did a part of their anthology over there, is like, oh, I'll send it over. And then when she sent it over, they replied back, oh, we already know about this book. We, you know, everything moves slowly in Hollywood. But then after it kind of got put together, the We're Long Ago and Far Away, then they put it up on their site. They're publishing it. They're actually going to publish another hard physical copy next year. All the Starburns branding, that'll go into Amazon and the bookstores and the comic book stores. But one of the things I was really excited about Starburns is because of their studio. So they're actually taking Long Ago and Far Away and packaging it as a TV show.
Oh, okay.
I brought a showrunner in, and we're going to actually go pitch it on in January of next year, which will be really cool. So I'm hoping this, you know, that project will move forward even further and get picked up as a TV show. So we're all hoping that will happen. And then I talked about this new book and they liked it. And they're like, yeah, you know, we don't have the resources to fund it, but you know, if we can get it funded through Kickstarter, we'll publish it. So it was like, sounds good to me. Let's try to get it done so we can do it. So they made all these tiers that are Starburns exclusives, like the tour of Starburns. So you could see, you know, how they make the animation, because they've done like Moral Oral and Anomalisa and HBO's Animals, and Rick and Morty started there. I know it's at another studio now, but you know, if you go to their studios are amazing. They've got all these sets of stuff, and it's really, really cool.
Is this something that maybe if, you know, one of the, either both of your projects or this particular project, the Kung Fu Master, or I'm sorry, Kung Fu Dragon Master, would it be something that you might want to do as like a audio production of sorts, you know, considering how a lot of podcasting these days, you know, people are really getting into that, you know, fictional podcasting presentations?
I would actually say no. And the reason is because these particular projects, Long Gone Far Away and Rise of the Kung Fu Dragon Master, they're very visual projects.
Right.
They're, you know, graphic novel, you know, live action. So I, as a podcast, it wouldn't work because you lose that whole dimension. But I think it's leaning into scripting. That's for a podcast. That's for sure what I've been exploring. I actually have a horror podcast called Conversations from the Abyss. I did two seasons. I'm working on season three right now, and I've kind of leaned into it where I'm trying to kind of do something a little different with the medium, where the only thing I love about podcasts is they can always go have like meandering conversations. Mm-hmm. They can go on tangents. They can come back. They could kind of go in a little different ways. But what if you applied that to like a horror Twilight Zone-ish anthology model, where it's still, you're still listening in on a conversation, but that conversation is very unsettling and off-putting, and you don't know where it's going to go. So that was kind of the impetus for Conversations from the Abyss. And I'm hoping to get to that third season as soon as I can.
Are the other two seasons of that still up on Apple and everywhere?
They are, yeah. People can listen to them. And they're real short. They're like 15, 20 minutes each. There's 8 in each season, so you can blow through them really quickly. I got feedback from somebody once that, I was working late alone in my office, and I shouldn't have listened to your podcast then.
That's what people say about our podcast, too, but for different reasons. So with regards to this Rise of the Kung Fu Dragon Master project, if folks are just fans of Marvel and DC, what in this project do you think would attract them?
I think it's a mix of things. Like, I love mixing and crossing genres. I think anyone who likes action, they like comedy, they like fantasy, they like monsters and creatures, and also with a dose of philosophy and some nice human connection. And ultimately, it's the things that a lot of good comic books do, regardless of whether they're superheroes or not. So I was trying to keep all those elements together. I mean, I would say it's probably a similar feel to like a almost like a Marvel team up or like a something like an Avengers where there's big things going on, but then we also focus in on the characters as these things are happening too.
Well, I see you here. You mentioned it for fans of Shang-Chi, Master of Kung Fu, but imagine that in like a Marvel 2-in-1. So he's hanging out with Ben Grimm and Ben Grimm's putzing around being a slow jerk like he normally is. And Shang-Chi's got to do all the work or something, you know, just kind of like, yeah. There's a fun dynamic there going on.
Yeah. I mean, the opening scene, it's not in the sample pages, but the opening scene is Rick's basically in a fight club and he can't wait to get in the ring. He's fighting. And you know, his partner is, kind of like exchanging money. And then all of a sudden, you know, somebody takes a cheap shot at Rick after he turns around and he just loses it. Like he goes off and beats the crap out of this fighter. And then at the end, his buddy is counting his money. I'm like, I can't believe you bet against me. I said, I didn't bet against you. I bet you would be disqualified.
That's awesome. So please check this out, everybody. Rise of the Kung Fu Dragon Master on Kickstarter by the great Chris Mancini and Fernando Pinto. You guys are going to love this. I think, you know, Long Gone Far Away, it's definitely a lot of fun. And Chris, you know, Chris and Fernando, you guys are a great team. You know, so I think you guys are going to, you know, knock it out of the park with this one too. And I want to point this out. Mark Waid put over Chris Mancini. And y'all know who Mark Waid is, okay? And if Mark Waid's telling you he's good, then y'all should be listening to him. So, if you go on the Kickstarter, you'll see exactly what he says. So I think that makes a lot of sense. Chris, is there anything else you want to promote? Do you want to bring up? You guys, of course, I know Chris primarily from the Comedy Film Nerds podcast, where I started as an intern. I was a multiple time guest afterwards, and you know, I've always been very grateful to have you and Graham in my life as just colleagues and friends.
We're happy to have you as well, and we were really excited and really, really elated just to see your progression from hanging out in the office to us to full-time jobs actually in the podcasting space, because at the time, Sean, there weren't as many as there are now.
Man, that was like, back then, it was like, there was jobs, but there really wasn't as many. Now it's like, there's freaking things flying all over the place. You know, everybody's got a studio and everybody's doing podcasts now. But yeah, man, it was early on. And I definitely, you know, I owe it to yourself and Graham, because I met Chris Gore there. And that's how I got involved with Podcrash and then eventually Sideshow Network and everything. So I've always been very grateful to be working with you guys. So Comedy Filmers, though. You guys are wrapping up. Has that been announced yet?
It has been announced. Yes. Yeah, we announced it so people would kind of have some time. And we needed some time to wrap things up. But, you know, fans have always, from other shows, have told us that fans are not happy when you kind of leave it abruptly.
Yeah, right.
Just give people a couple of months, kind of wind things down, enjoy the episodes. And then we have one last show December 12th at the Dynasty Typewriter Theater at the Hayworth Theater. And then like a bunch of old guests will be there. It's going to be a ton of fun, and then a reception. But the Kickstarter actually ends December 10th, which is our last studio show. So I'm hoping I can go out with the last show with a funded Kickstarter.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, that'd be some great news.
It should be a really good week, so I'm hoping.
So what episode is that you guys ending on? Like what episode number?
We're saying it's 600, but we're not completely sure.
Oh, okay. Well, at least that's halfway to 1,200.
Exactly.
So, you know, that was probably the goal all along. But I also want to give a shout out to Chris and Graham. We're behind not only the LA Podcast Festival for many years, something that I've had a chance to, you know, be a part of in various facets, but also Earbuds, the podcast documentary, which, by the way, I don't know if, are you aware of this? It's on Amazon Prime now.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it got picked up by distributors, so it's everywhere. It's Amazon Prime, it's iTunes, and on demand, so you could kind of get it anywhere now.
See, that's awesome, because there's a lot of people that I haven't been able to exactly share it with, other than just, you know, having the DVD available. So now they could see my, you know, my cancer journey and whatever it is I'm doing on there, you know, being a podcasting jackass, and it's up there. But it's a fine documentary, and you guys are going to dig it. And yeah, you know, please support Chris in this venture, guys. He's doing some great stuff. Rise of the Kung Fu Dragon Master. definitely check it out. Chris, what's your social media? Where can people find you?
It is social media is Chris J. Mancini. And then you could always catch me at my website, Chris J. Mancini Online. But Twitter is usually the best place. You could, I think my DMs are even open if you want to drop me a line there or just tweet at me. That's fine.
Right on. All right, Chris. Thanks again, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks again. Thanks so much, Sean. I really appreciate it. This was great. And, you know, I always enjoy hearing about bad comics for sure, because I've got some in my collection as well.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we'll have to have you on some other time, too, to maybe talk about some comics. And we'll just do straight comics and just have a blast with that.
Sounds great.
Jeff and Rick present Unpacking the Power of Power Pack,
where we journey through each issue of the most underrated Marvel series of the 80s while drinking beer,
analyzing awesome and amazing adolescent adventures, and absorbing alcohol.
We got kids with powers. We got villains with attitude.
We got superhero guests, like all of them from the Marvel Universe.
We have thematically appropriate beer reviews.
We have good jokes and bad song parodies.
One stop for all your Power Pack pod-pleasing procurements.
And we got alliteration.
Find Unpacking the Power of Power Pack wherever fine podcasts are played.
Costumes on.
All right, we're back here in Worst Collection Ever with our book for this week. It is The New Titans, number 0, from October 1994.
Shit. This ain't your mama's Titans.
No, this is definitely not your mama's Titans. And it is one of the Zero books. I can't remember how many.
You have a few of these.
Well, I have a lot. Yeah, it's kind of one of the things where I want to get all of them because they remind me of a time
when you were young.
When I was young, when I was 14, and I was they have a special memory of these mm-hmm. kind of books because this is kind of around the time when I was getting into DC. I kind of feel like this the Zero Hour kind of put DC more on my radar. Mm. I feel like before I was more of like a Marvel guy.
Sure.
And this kind of turned me over more to DC because of, I mean, I like the Zero Hour story. I know it's just another time crossover bullshit thing, but I'm always a fan of it. So yeah. That's just how it is. But The New Titans number 0, October 1994, which features on the cover here, we've got the New Titans. They're new. And
I mean, kind of.
Well, I mean, this team is pretty, I mean, it's kind of like the team, there's a bunch of temporal bullshit that they're really not addressing in this book, and that's fine because I don't want to address it either. But the team is kind of brand new, you know. We're not looking at just Nightwing and
But he's in this book. Don't you worry.
Yeah,
in this book to tell you that he's not going to be in this book.
Yeah, right. I'm here to leave.
Yeah. Hi. Bye.
We have on the cover, we have Tara, who was a part of the Teen Titans before this. And, of course, she turned on the Titans in the Judas contract.
Yes, but not here.
But not here. This is where she came back from the dead. I don't really understand exactly what her resurrection deal was.
I don't know.
I didn't bother to care. I just know she's here.
She's here.
And she's really into Beast Boy. And
who's not into her?
Beast Boy's not, which is kind of weird because it was like in the Judas contract story, it's like they're... You know, the relationship is supposed to be there between them two, and they don't really, obviously it ends pretty badly.
Yeah.
You know, but here she is, and the reason I bring her up first because she's controlling the rock that Arsenal is standing on.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, of course, Speedy or whoever, Red Arrow. But here he is standing there in front with a gun because that's what he does. He doesn't do arrows anymore. He does guns.
Guns, that's right.
And then also...
Arrows are stupid.
Well, it's weird. This is a weird setup because it's like you wonder like... So they're just kind of exploding out. So they're only standing on the rock. And then we have Beast Boy in the background.
But he kind of looks like a swamp thing.
Yeah.
Because he's just green and it looks like he has like hair coming off of his shoulders. Like spike hair. That's what it looks like. He looks like a plant. He doesn't look like Beast Boy.
Yeah, he's kind of doing like something's going on with his mutation or his powers that he's like creating.
I'm
like,
being clawed.
Oh, yeah. He's creating these nightmarish visions or whatever that he's turning into like these goopy monsters.
Yeah.
Or swamp things. And he's like, I just realized that he's not like standing on the rock, but he's actually just standing in the back being gigantic.
Yeah.
Because he's got like these weird ass feet in the background.
Yeah.
So then we have him and he's on so he's on one side, and then on the other side we have Damage.
Uh-huh.
Who at the time just got his own book. And of course Damage is related to I believe the Atom, not the Ray Palmer, but the Golden Age Atom. Okay. And so he's got like these like energy based powers.
Yeah.
And this drawing of him is terrible.
It's really bad.
Because he's looking all jacked up, but he's got this small Eddie Furlong head just sitting right there. But the rest of him is just huge.
Yeah.
And then in the front, we have running towards us, we have Impulse.
Yes.
Who most of you already know is the shittiest Flash. Shittiest Flash.
Was that a hot take from Sean?
Yes. The hottest take.
Hottest of takes.
The hottest of takes. And then next to him is Mirage, who for some reason is also changing into Kyle Rayner Green Lantern.
Yeah, and I kind of felt like, because he shows up at the end of this book, so I was like, is that how they're telling us that he's in this book too?
I don't really know what his relationship
is. Because
something happens to him in the next issue, apparently, but whatever.
Yeah, I don't know, because they're talking about like needing a leader, and then all of a sudden he's... Anyway, we'll talk about it.
So we start off, the issue is called The Changing Order, and...
I'm assuming we're in some politician's office.
No, we're in Sergeant Steele's office.
Oh.
So Sergeant Steele...
Is he a politician now?
I don't know. He's just like, I think he's some sort of government dude.
Yeah, government dude.
And he's got a metal hand.
Yeah.
Smoking a cigarette with a metal hand.
Yep, that's what you do.
That's what you do.
And he's talking to a shadowy figure who is obviously Nightwing. And Nightwing is just holding the flag in front of his crotch.
No, the flag's over here. It looks like he's holding the flag.
He is holding the flag. So the flag is on, wait, go back. Flag is on a pole. And he's just holding it.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe he's trying to hide a boner.
I was going to say, maybe he's got like a hard on. He's like, I can't let the readers of this book see my hard dick.
And I can't turn around because the Sergeant Steele will see my dick. So I'm just going to hold this flag in front of it.
Well, at least Sergeant Steele's getting a good view of that ass.
That's true.
The best ass in comics.
There it is.
He's standing there with this thing in front of his, you know, he's holding this flag or whatever. And he's telling Steele, he's like, okay, well. You know, this is, you know, Arsenal, you know, has like these, you know, gave me these names of these kids who are going to be the new team. And Nightwing's like, yeah, well, we were kids when we started. So, you know, chill out. And then we jump to the Titans on a mission.
Yeah. And I think we're in a warehouse here.
Of course.
And we have Coven.
And Slag.
And her husband, Slag.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Slag, which is British slang for slut. Just want to put that out there.
Coven and slut.
Coven and slut. However, Slag is like this big besuited guy. He's in this big iron suit.
Yeah.
She looks typical 90s in the most ridiculous way.
She has a very pointless, like... Headband, like comm link of sort.
And she's got like one shoulder pad armor thing.
One
knee pad armor thing and like a bodysuit with like many.
Wait, why does she only have one knee pad?
I don't know. She's only got one knee pad. I mean, unless it's behind that speech bubble.
No,
she's only got one knee pad.
She only has one metal knee pad. Is that like just the only?
It's like Kyrie Sane.
It's true. Well, here's the thing. I don't understand because so I looked it up. Coven. Is like fire. He's got like plasma bursts or whatever.
She's Coven.
No, Slag. I'm sorry. Slag has plasma bursts. Coven, I don't know what the fuck she does.
No. She wants to be a witch.
She wants to be a witch. She has a knee pad that's shiny and metal.
Only one.
Maybe she knees dudes in the dick with it.
Maybe.
That's her power.
I actually would like to take this picture of the two of them together and Photoshop our faces on.
I was thinking that. I was actually just thinking, husband and wife team.
I could wear a pointless outfit.
I was thinking this could be... Considering that my face doesn't do well with face paint now, as we've discovered.
Yeah, I can't do face paint for you anymore, babe.
Here's our next couple's costume.
We're going to make this. I get to wear one knee pad?
Yes.
Okay.
That's how people will know that you're Coven.
No one will know that I'm Coven. I don't think anybody knows who Coven is.
But that's the best part.
I run around and just go, I want to be a witch? Or like...
Well, you just go around kneeing dudes in the dick with your one knee pad.
Well, I already do that.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I don't
know. But I'm just going to wear like a bunch of plates on me.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of metal
and like
stuff.
Random red accents.
Yeah, right?
Also tubing. He has tubing.
He's like, give me the red tubes.
I want to be a witch.
They're working for the crime lord who is...
seems great. Oh, no, that's Beast Boy.
Yeah, they're working for the crime lord, and they're giving some shit to a guy who, like one of the members of the triad or something.
Sure,
and there's some sort of kerfluffle with the triad.
Basically nefarious generic shit.
But in bursts Gar, and he's, you know, he comes in, but he's just...
It's like his powers are going nuts.
Well, he's like the shape of like a bunch of faces and two monsters.
He's not really a beast. He's a lot of eyes and some faces, and then like the very... I don't know if he's changing into this like angler fish with tentacles.
Yeah, right. It's
almost like he's lost control of his powers.
And the thing is, like, he's sitting there like, you know, thinking to himself, it's like, why am I so angry? What's going on? I'm like, bro.
Yeah. I mean, he's even saying like glop, gurgle, whatever. And then there's, you know, fire.
He does a thing where it's like, where the slag guy shoots off a fire burst, and he starts yelling at him. So, you know, Garfield starts yelling at him, like, look at me and see the faces of your torment. Like, he's doing like a pedant stare kind of bullshit.
He's all fucking, he went emo, man.
Yeah,
this is Gar's goth phase.
Does he like...
He's going to go read some...
Also, he farts.
Yeah, I thought he farted at this guy's face.
He farts in his mouth.
Ew.
Because like one of his tentacles like gives off like a gas, and I think it's Slag, because Slag's helmet comes off.
Yeah, it's Slag.
And Slag's like, ew, poison.
I would also just like to point out the way Coven's ass is drawn in that bottom panel.
Oh, yeah, she's splaying.
Which is really upsetting, because it's like, it's almost like she has ass implants. But right. They're bad ones.
Well, it's also kind of questionable where her vagina might be.
Well, not only that, but like when you do the splits like that, you don't just have like still perfect ass cheeks in the middle. They move.
I don't know. Have you seen Jean-Claude Van Damme do the splits?
I mean, I have, but I'm assuming that from this angle, it doesn't look like two perfect bubbles.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe I'm underestimating Jean-Claude Van Damme's ass.
So basically, they subdue him, and Coven subdues him with her weapons, and then
one knee pad.
Yeah. And then we jump to the shopping mall beneath the World Trade Center, where Arsenal and...
Was there a shopping mall beneath the World Trade Center?
Oh, there's a lot of stuff. There was a lot of stuff in the World Trade Center.
I know there was a train station.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was a mall.
Yeah, he's there. Damage and Arsenal are there, and they're fighting a bunch of robots. I don't know exactly what these robots are, but they're apparently like terrorists, but they're terrorist robots. And
I kind of look at them in like Sentinels.
Yeah.
So, I mean, from the X-Men, I realize it's not the same universe, but that's kind of the vibe they're giving me.
You're like the Sentinels, if they're assholes.
Yeah. Well, the Sentinels are assholes. So.
And they also are in DC.
Yeah. And he's just like trying to fight them, and then they're kind of like getting the better of him. One of them that's chasing him is just like hitting a wall over there in the corner at the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
Just like it stopped pursuing him and just decided to start punching a wall.
He's like, he's chest bumping the wall.
Yeah. And then he's like trying to tell this robot that he's going to explode.
Right. Because Damage has like, you know, he's one of those characters that has like a bunch of built up energy, and like he has to like expel it after a certain amount of time.
But right now that's not accurate, because he's like, oh, you're not buying it, huh?
Yeah.
And so they fight. There's a lot of fighting. There's a lot of shit being destroyed.
And they're also working for
the ceiling is being destroyed.
Right. And they're working for this crime lord fellow, and they're just
everyone's working for a crime lord.
Yeah. And they're
the only employers in this town.
They're saying something like, all of a sudden there's like there's robots are European, because like
robots.
He's the one of those robots starts cutting the promo, and he's like, your people have laughed while the Middle East to Africa and Eastern Europe burned with war. And then like some voice in his head is like, stop giving off the crime lord, apparently. It's like, stop doing exposition. He's like, okay. And then
shut up.
Arsenal stabs one of these robots in the neck, explodes, you know, knocks off one of their helmets.
Kills a bunch of, I'm assuming, support beams. Like, we've got rocks and concrete
everywhere. Oh, yeah. It's kind of disturbing.
Yeah.
With it being in the World Trade Center and just like a bunch of robots knocking.
And shit's just falling down
and
rubble. And you're just like, oh, that's not cool.
Yeah. And they start, for some reason, they start ruining these, the train station underneath. This is actually what I love Arsenal doing. He's jumping over the turnstiles.
Oh,
but he's kind of doing like a.
Like a cool guy jump over the turnstile?
He's doing like a. Like a jumping jack
over it.
It's really odd.
Yeah.
He
does it later too, but not like that.
Right.
Yeah.
And so now we jump back to the warehouse, And you know, they got Covid. they got you know, Beast Boy indisposed.
And that's when Terra and
Mirage
show up. And so they start like attacking them. Terra's throwing rocks on people. It also, this right here looks like Beast Boy is about to take fire right up the ass.
Yeah, right? Because
Terra is just like, oh, Beast Boy, I love you so much. Oh my God, open those baby greens. But there's like this big, huge fire.
Don't burn his dick.
It looks like it's headed right for his dick. And she's just like, oh no, Beast Boy.
There's a lot of
like her just talking about how much she loves Beast Boy while she's trying to like kill all these other people. She also says, oh, garbage.
Where?
Right there at the very bottom.
Oh, she said, oh, garbage. Oh, okay.
She said, oh, garbage. Instead of, oh, shit. It's, oh, garbage.
Well, I thought that was her name for Gar.
That's what I thought she was talking about. I was like, oh, you call him garbage? Is that your sweet nothings?
So apparently Slag and Coven get away and they go to retreat. And they have to go meet the Crime Lord. And the Crime Lord, who apparently just appears as a red caped figure of sorts. Hey, you fucked up, but we got the wrong intel, so I'm not gonna hold you accountable for this fuck up, but you know, you better do this thing next thing right. And then we have some other BS going on with the Titans, because they're a new team, so they don't really know.
They're a new team, and Gar is just like, dude, Terra, no.
Yeah, Gar's being really emo.
Yeah, here. Oh yeah. He went goth.
Also, I don't understand what the hell Mirage does. Because she doesn't do anything in this fight.
Either. Is she the one who's got the green thing?
Where?
Is that green thing her? No, that's Coven.
No, that's Coven shooting the rock.
I don't know what Mirage does. You're
she
right.
Does absolutely nothing. And then she's only thing she's doing here is she's wearing earrings that have the T, have a T. They're shaped like a T.
I thought they were crosses.
I thought they were crosses too, but no. She's wearing the official Titans earrings. And they get a call from Arsenal, so they have to go catch up with him. They're back at the World Trade Center, and this is where Impulse shows up, and he's being all teenagery and silly.
Yeah.
And he's jumping around. I hate Impulse.
Yeah, he kind of sucks.
Yeah, he sucks ass.
Because he's hanging out with what's his face? Damage.
Yeah, and he's doing a pretty good job knocking, you know, getting these robots out. Mm. And apparently, you know, he's like, well, you know,
I'm the shittiest Flash.
We get this notice that it's like, well, he thinks it's a game because he grew up in a virtual reality world.
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever the fuck that means.
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything.
You know, Damage was actually buried in a bunch of rocks. And he's just like, which somehow didn't kill him, because he's not invulnerable.
I don't know.
I mean, he's just got a bunch of power and
comic
stuff.
Comic books.
But, you know, I mean, if a bunch of rocks fall on your head,
you should die.
You should die.
Yeah.
But he's fine. He joins back the fight, but he's, you know, his energy is like really building up.
Right.
And this is where, what's his face? Impulse has to take him out to like the middle of the fucking ocean.
Yeah.
And leave him there so he can explode.
And not fuck up the World Trade Center.
No, the fuck up the World Center. Yeah, you shouldn't do that. And then they head back to, they all meet up and people are, you know, everybody's just tense.
Yeah.
Everybody's just tense, you know. You got
Titans yelling at each other. They run into Arsenal over here.
Well, Arsenal,
he's wearing sweet sunglasses.
Yeah, he's kind of doing like
he's fucking
doing
Magnum PI.
He's kind of doing like the they're down on his nose, kind of like he's like looking at a babe or something.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it is. It's like, you know, Tom Cruise pulling him down in like an old movie.
Oh, it's Risky Business.
It's Risky Business. It's 100% Risky Business.
It's Risky Business, starring Arsenal. But Tara's like, well, it's like, okay, what's like the Breakfast Club? You're this, I'm that, you know. And
everybody's like, shut up.
She calls Gar a Keanu Reeves with chest hair.
Does Keanu Reeves not have chest hair?
I think he manages chest hair. He's got a nice beard. I'm certain he can manage chest
hair. I'm assuming that if we see Keanu Reeves without a shirt, he may have waxed or shaved.
I don't know. I'm certain for aesthetic movie purposes.
For movie purposes. I'm sure real Keanu Reeves is just fucking like, this is what I got, bro.
Yeah. So they get a notice. They get a heads up from Sergeant Steel. And Sergeant Steel is like, look, I got you guys. You know, the original Teen Titans Tower isn't around. I got you like old school dormitory on Princeton
University.
Kind of
looks like a train station, to be
honest
with you.
Or a train station.
An old library.
Yeah. Well, it used to be a train station. So
yeah,
I was right.
That's what it looks like.
it used to be a train station in the 30s. After it was closed, it was turned over to the national parks, and the president had them turn it over to us. So Slick Willie was like, oh, man.
Trump's not giving shit to these people.
Anyway, so they're like, oh, man, we got the sweet new digs. You know, we got
this stupid T-shaped table that doesn't do anybody any good.
That table looks stupid.
It is stupid.
But, yeah, apparently it cost $2 billion to rebuild the inside of this thing. And they even have like a...
we can't afford health care.
No. No, fuck that.
No, fuck health care. But don't you worry. Here's $2 billion to build the stupid table.
The stupid table for a team that's only probably going to be together for like not even a year.
Yeah, no.
A bunch of these jabronis. And they got a gym. They got a pool. They got apparently a sub.
Yeah, they've got all sorts of stuff.
A sub that costs $4 million.
Yeah. They're spending way too much money. And this is like in 1994 money.
Yeah.
That's how many billions in 1994?
Hey Clinton, the economy was doing good.
The economy was doing great. But could you imagine, like, what is that today's money? $18 billion.
Yeah.
Money Jeff Bezos wouldn't sneeze at.
Jeff Bezos funds.
It's Jeff Bezos' money.
Jeff Bezos funds the Titans.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So then we get like an aside where a senator gets vopped. Like he turns into like fucking dust because like a Zeppelin.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about this. There's a Zeppelin in this book. And you're like, wait, where are we again?
Well, apparently Deathstroke tried to assassinate Bill Clinton
with a Zeppelin.
No,
oh.
But apparently in Deathstroke the Hunted, the zero issue of his book, but apparently it was the machinations of the crime lord that were behind it.
Mm.
So it didn't really do anything, but the senator's up there and he's like, well, okay, you know, he tried to kill Slick Willie. I ain't going to stand for that shit. I'm going to try to bring him to justice. And then like the crime lord shows up with, in his Zeppelin.
Yeah.
And just vops them.
Didn't we read a Zeppelin book?
Yeah, it was the one with the Batman.
Oh, that's
right. In Jersey.
That's right.
And then we're back with Nightwing, who's done fondling the flag.
Yeah, he's done.
You know, he's back. I think we're going back to the beginning.
Yes, we're back where we started.
And he's like, these Titans are going to be dope. Don't worry about it. And he's like, I'm going to go. Steel's like,
okay. He's like, I'm not going to be there. He's like, well, aren't you going to lead? He's like, I've led too many of these teams. I'm out.
I'm not gone, Steel. I'm just taking a well-deserved vacation. All I really want.
So don't worry. Nightwing's not going to be in this book.
Yeah.
But then, so he jumps out a window. You see his dumb ponytail in the shadow.
Wait, does he have the ponytail still?
Look at that last panel.
Oh, yeah.
See it?
Yeah, you didn't really see the ponytail because he's always facing us. But now there's the ponytail.
And the thing is I think this is technically a mullet because he's got like the bangs in the front.
Oh, yeah. No, he's just pulling the back. He's just pulling the mullet back a little bit.
Yeah.
He's just tying that back.
Nightwing has a mullet.
Oh, yeah. It's the 90s.
And in 1994, though, wasn't mullet more like an 80s thing?
It was, but you can still rock the mullet in the 90s. Questionable. It's mid-90s. Then once you start
grunge should just be happening.
Grunge is...
So once grunge starts
happening...
Well, Kurt
Cobain died.
Then the mullet is out. You can't do a mullet anymore after grunge. You got to have unwashed stringy boy hair.
He didn't get the memo.
No, he didn't. Kurt Cobain's dead by now.
Yeah, R.I.P.D.
Yeah.
So, and then we go to space.
Now we're in space and there's like floating DNAs and Kyle Rayner and there's narration boxing.
Apparently he's being followed by these DNAs.
Yeah.
I don't really know what's going on here. Talking about the asteroid field in the vicinity of Oa, once proud home of the Guardians of the Universe.
Blah, blah, blah.
Green Lantern destroyed him? I don't know. It's really kind of...
It doesn't
confusing.
Matter.
And
Kyle Rayner's here. There you go.
Kyle Rayner's here, and then...
End of the book.
That's it. And it says, next issue, the final change. And we get a... let's see here. The new Titans suffer their first setback when the betrayal of one of their own leaves them defenseless. Witness the final change and realize the Titans won't ever be the same. Dun, dun, dun.
It's a new book. They're not... What?
So, yeah, that's it for the New Titans, number 0. I do really just want to point out here.
The Ray,
because they don't really have a lot of ads.
Which we have read. Not
we have,
this issue, but...
Yeah, we've done the Ray before. But they have this ad for the Ray for a series, and it just has like a... It's like, read it, it's good for you, and it has like a nutrition facts. And it has totally fat, 100%.
Fat with a P.
P-H-A-T. Yeah. Action, 75%. Fights, 32%. Wouldn't action and fights be in the same thing?
No, because it could be like a car chase. That's not technically a fight.
Okay, so fights, 32%. Adventure, 38%. Humor, 62%. I think that's debatable. I remember reading The Ray. I didn't think
it was that funny. And honestly, I would rather have my fights percentage and my humor percentage switched.
Yeah.
Give me 62% fights and then 32% humor.
Give me a joke. Zero calories, though.
Oh, well, that's
good. I can eat this.
Yeah, is it gluten-free?
Is
it vegan?
I don't know.
Is it made of kale?
This issue of The Ray is made out of recycled kale. Guest stars, 24%. Villains, 80%. These
percentages are shitty.
Yeah, and boredom, 0%.
Oh, I disagree.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and I've read this. We've read The Ray. It's not that exciting. It's not that bad.
It's meh.
It's
a 90s book.
It's the definition of meh.
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 That's it for the New Titans number 0, October 1994. Do you want to find out what's going on with the New Titans after this?
I mean, I have so many other things to read, so probably not.
I'm the same way.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, whatever. I feel like I was interested to catch up on this just to see, like, it's a 0 issue. So I was like, yeah, let's see what's going on here. Yeah. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I'm good.
All right.
Nightwing's out there fondling flags. And
I don't know what Tara's
got these weird. I just noticed her boots. Look how big her boots are. She's got like giant Uggs.
Yeah. It's like, and she's got really skinny legs and it's just weird looking.
This is another 0 book. Maybe we'll get to another one. Sure. Anyways, I want to thank Chris Mancini for joining us this week. Please check out The Rise of the Kung Fu Master on Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
And please support him. He is a good friend of the show and just a cool guy.
Yeah.
And really support
indie creators.
Yeah, please support indie creators and definitely support Chris. He is a smart, creative dude. We love him here. So please find us on Twitter and Instagram. You can find us on Angry Hero Sean on Twitter and Instagram.
And I'm at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram. You can find my X-Files reviews. JenStansfield.wordpress.com. I promise I will write some soon. I've been a little lax lately, but we've had shit going on. And you can find us on Facebook, Worst Collection Ever, and email the show, worstcollectionever@gmail.com.
Please rate, review, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, and tell your friends. So that's it for this week's show. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk again next time.
Bye.